I'm Diane Hill Taylor, and I am going to just give you a brief overview of what we're going to be talking about and put in context the campaign that Stephanie is going to provide more details. So we have no relationships to disclose, but we would like to let you know that the program, the activities that we're going to be describing, are funded by CDC through a CTG Community Transformation Grant, and we are grateful for that grant and having a ball in implementing it. So overall, what we are going to talk about in the next few minutes is I'm going to give some brief demographic information about our county so that you're familiar with the residents we serve. I'll also provide just a brief overview about CTG grant. I've heard a lot about that from other participants, so you probably have as well, and we're all kind of doing the same thing. So I'll just talk a little bit about the health department's work. And then Stephanie is going to get into more detail about public awareness campaign, the use of the social media, the text and Twitter campaign, and our work with primary care physicians, particularly around our wellness template. I will say, and you'll probably hear more than once, that this is a work in progress. When we submitted the abstract, like many of the presenters throughout this week, we thought we were going to be much further along, but it just takes a little bit more time than we had anticipated. So you will hear a lot about where we are now, and we hope to be able to come back next year and present all of the results. So how many of you have ever been through Prince George's County, Maryland? Good. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, how many of you have traveled from Washington to New York or vice versa? So for those who raise your hand then, you should see me afterwards because I probably can get you quicker to New York or Washington because you usually have to go some part of Prince George's County if you're leaving Washington going over to New York or vice versa. So see me afterwards and I'll give you a shorter route to where you're going. So let's talk a little bit about Prince George's County, which is right across, if you do the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, you know, from Virginia, right after you cross that bridge, you are in Prince George's County. We are very culturally diverse county. Our majority population is minority. We have a lot of urban, suburban, rural. So if you want to move to Prince George's County, you want rural population, we got it. If you want to move to the urban, we got it. We have a pretty educated community, relatively affluent in our community, and a good working population. And this just sort of describes, gives a map of the various areas in Prince George's County. But we also have a lot of chronic diseases in our county. When I'm working with our health professionals, we often talk about we have enough health problems in Prince George's County to go around. So we don't have to compete for who's going to do what in the county. We can work with every hospital. We can work with every doctor. Most recent data indicate that 30% of our county residents are county adult residents are obese, compared to the overall state rate of about 28%. We have further health disparity. 35% of black non-Hispanic adults are obese compared to 30% of our Caucasian non-Hispanic adults. Most recent data also suggests that even with our children, there's room for all of us to work in this area. 16% of our children aged 16 to 18 are obese compared to the overall state rate of 12%. The data further suggests that 15.8% are Hispanic children, 15% of black children are obese compared to 9% of our Caucasian children. We were awarded the Community Transformation Grant last year. It's a two-year grant. It focuses on what most other CTG small community grants focus on, including tobacco-free living. And so we're working with hospitals and two hospitals in the county. And we're also very pleased to say that we have decided to make our health department facility smoke-free policy even more strict as a result of our work with CTG. But a lot of our work also on CTG focuses on healthy eating, active living. We have huge goals of reaching 362,000 plus. The whole county is a little over 800,000. We are working to increase the number of people with access to active living and to also increase the use of health messages. And we'll talk about that with our campaign. Like many of you, we also have a clinical and community preventive services. And this is a real critical part because it really does help us to link care with the physician. So we are actually working with physicians, primary care physicians in our communities, with hospitals, with the clinics in our community, particularly around getting our residents to use wellness templates, wellness plan templates, which we will talk a little bit more about. This CTG grant covers 12 zip codes in our community, the most underserved of our Prince George's County. And again, that equals about 362,000 residents in the county. So we are ripe to, as a county, to implement the Community Transformation Grant, given the demographics of the people we serve, and this public health education campaign focusing on Twitter and texting to get the word out is one of the key ways that we are implementing our CTG, and Stephanie will go into more detail about this work in progress.
Good morning. When we began this process, obviously we were going to look at social media and using technology in order to convey nutritional and educational messages. And one of the things that we did before we began is we just took a step back and we looked at ourselves and we took this very crude, informal lay of the land and tried to see where were people at and what things were we need to take into consideration if we were going to be successful with this project. Initially, we looked and we saw that a main source of information for healthcare information is through our primary care physicians. And so we pretty much assumed that our target population was going to use that as a main source of where they got most of their information. But when we were doing this assessment, we also then took account what are some other factors that we need to be cognizant of as we go through this process. And some of the things that we learned made us take a step back and take a pause. One of the things that we quickly came to the conclusion is that our population used social media, were aware of social media, had all the technology, had all the information how to access social media. So that wasn't going to be an issue. But we tried to see what would be perhaps some factors that we would need to take into consideration. And one of the things that we learned is that we felt that although they were using this media, they weren't using it for health information. They were using it to socialize and send pictures and talk about the party and all this other stuff, but they weren't really using it to access health information and to take health messages. So this was one of the things that we knew that we were going to have to address. We also looked at ourselves as the health department, and if we were going to start a campaign about educational messages, what did our community know about us as the health department? And we had a sense that they knew our grandmother's health department, but they didn't know us. We had transformed. We had changed. We were changing because the community was changing. And the way that we had to do business was changing. And it was important for us to let the community know that and for us to be certain that the community knew that we were a new health department. And we were concerned about the health of each of our residents. We were concerned about them having access to care. We were concerned about the quality of care that they were receiving. And these are all messages that we needed to get out in front before we even began the campaign. The other thing that we learned is that our residents were probably far more technological savvy than we at the health department were. We were not Twittering, we were not texting, we didn't have anything to do with anything that we were doing on a regular basis. And we had hits and misses here and there, but we really had not taken a concentrated effort to make sure that we were moving along as our residents were moving along. And this is probably not unusual for you know, organizations such as a health department. But what probably has been unusual is that our leadership said, We've got to get there. That's the only way that this is going to be successful. So our efforts were, to first we had to begin branding ourselves. We hired a marketing firm that began to brand us, and we became Be a Part of the Healthy Revolution. Everything we did, we were Be a Part of the Healthy Revolution. So we decided for the first phase of this project, we were going to focus on nutritional messages. That was not going to be the effort. We had to first educate our community about us and where we were coming and how we were there to serve them and support them and get them to a healthier place and allow them to maintain that state of healthiness. So over several months, we began to this very high-tech multimedia campaign. We established Twitter accounts. We established a Facebook page. We began to do an e-newsletter that would go out every week. We have an internal process, it's called MyPGC, that sends out emails on a regular basis, so every Friday messages were going out. We established constant contact system, and so that every Friday, almost a quarter of a million messages go out to individuals, and these messages vary. Sometimes they tell the recipients that the health department is having free flu shots in the clinics and where those clinics will be held. They may be messages that talk about take a loved one to the doctor, which was a national campaign that was a couple of weeks ago. And so we were on the radio. We were sending out messages in every way talking about take a loved one to the doctor, encouraging people to participate and informing them of our participation. We sent out messages that talked about there is one of our partners, a Capillary Food Bank, that distributes food the third week of every month. And so our messages went out to tell them about this food distribution and encouraging people to come out. So they came across the board, but the point was to continue to just send out continuous messages about what the health department is doing, what services are available in your community, and how we as a health department can assist in you accessing that information. In order to be able to track this information and be able to monitor how the information was going out, we worked very closely with our call center. It's a call center that goes with a 311 number, and anyone who calls that number can find out information about services across the county. And we did that because we wanted to be able to control or at least be able to monitor how many people were hearing our messages, how many people were responding as a result of hearing our messages. So on everything, we would tell them to call 311. And people have been calling. They don't hear our whole message. They only hear the part, health department, but that's okay. They get that part, and once they call 311, the operators at our 311 call center can begin to find out what are the issues and then begin to direct the people in the right ways. We, as I said, we established Facebook. We have #, Be a Part of the Healthy Revolution as our Twitter. We are putting things on YouTube. And then we have a Facebook, we have a website. And the website is, again, Be a Part of the Healthy Revolution.com. But on our website, we continue to, on a weekly basis, the messages that go out, our radio announcements that are on the radio, other types of educational information, we continue to post on this site. So again, throughout this month, their first phase was nothing but to familiarize people with the process and what was going on. Now, in a couple of weeks, we'll be to phase two. And actually, there'll be a phase three, but I'll talk about phase two. We will repeat all the social media and public awareness campaign messages and strategies that we have done during phase one. This is conduct pre and post tests, but it should actually say conduct assessments. What we have done is we have hired an epidemiologist to help us keep focus and to figure out what variables we really need to focus on and how we need to monitor and to track them. We also have an evaluator who's working very closely with us also that's helping us develop our tools and our instruments and what we need to do. During this period of time, we are also working very closely with our CDC project officer and our technical assistant liaison who will help us identify evidence-based nutritional statements, and those will be the messages that we will use during our phase two. So we'll actually have a very science evidence-based approach as we go into phase two. And we will also then be collecting tons of information based on the direction and guidance we get from our epidemiologist and our evaluator. Very quickly, I'm going to talk about the wellness template because I only have 2 minutes left. As part of the health department's project, not just my CTG project, but the health department, we have developed wellness templates. We have a wellness template that's for a program that looks at adolescents who are overweight and have been identified as being overweight from their pediatrician, and these are children from the ages of 6 to 18. And we have a wellness template that looks at that same information for adults. During what really will be our phase three, you can see this, we will be blending all this information with our wellness template and our campaigns and our use for community health workers, and all these various strategies will come together and culminate in a way where we can really start tracking and monitoring and assess how effective our campaign has been and how effective we've been able to use these messages and these social mediums to educate our population. By September 2014, when our CTG grant will be over, we will just be hitting our stride. We won't be done, but we're hoping that CDC will allow us to continue on. But if not, we believe by September we will be able to assess the effectiveness of our multimedia campaign. We will be able to assess some changes as it relates to physical activity and people's attitude towards physical activity in our target areas, as well as how they have reviewed the nutritional messages that have been received over the several months. However, the health department is very, very committed to this process and to this project, and we recognize that the information that we will glean from this will help us as we continue to try to improve the health of our residents. So even after September 2014, the health department will continue to morph this project into other existing programs so that we can continue on and to do the work that needs to be done in order to us to achieve the outcomes that we believe are possible through this project. Thank you.